Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In 2 Peter chapter 3, we have this reminder about the Lord Jesus Christ's return from heaven in light of the fact that there are many scoffers who are going to come in the last days and who are going to deny this truth. And we have been working through this past week. And this week, you notice in verses 5 of 2 Peter 3 that we get to a really core issue about a willful ignorance that people have with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we read there. But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. What point is Peter trying to make with this example? Well, he's pointing us back to the days of Noah and the flood that destroyed the entire world that then was. Now, what I find interesting about this connection is that it isn't the only place in the New Testament that it's referred to. Christ also talked about this in Matthew chapter 24. And essentially what the authors were doing was saying, if you want to understand what is going to happen before the Lord Jesus comes, you've got to go back and look at the events that preceded the flood. Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Remember the flood? We know, now get the big picture here this week. We know that just prior to the flood, there was a great population explosion. It says in Genesis 6 verse 1 that men were multiplying on the face of the earth. And with this great population explosion came a lot more wickedness. With more people, more wickedness comes. People began boasting against God and mocking his laws and his statutes. People such as Lamech, who boasted against God's provisions for an orderly society. He had murdered a man and boasted against God about it in Genesis chapter 5. And what happens in chapter 6 is that the Lord sees all of this, and this is what we read. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created on the earth. The earth had become filled with violence and wickedness. And God destroyed that generation. And this is what Peter is saying. Look, all these scoffers today who don't take seriously Jesus' calls, who don't take seriously Jesus' message, the calls to repentance and faith and to bow the knee to him, to believe in him, people who aren't taking that seriously. And we've got a whole world full of people today who aren't taking that seriously. They willfully forget that God destroyed that whole world that then was with the same waters that had originally been separated at creation for their own well-being. God had separated the waters at creation. The waters became, when they enclosed on them, the means of their destruction. And Peter contrasts it. He says the world that then was. There was a whole world, my friends, that existed. There was a whole world, and we don't typically divide it this way, but Peter is dividing human existence into two separate time periods. The world that then was, and the world that now is. There was a whole world that then existed before the flood of people just like us, who were marrying and giving in marriage, who were going about the daily duties, and they did not heed the calls of Noah to repent and believe and come into the ark who showed us the covering that Christ gives. And Peter here points out that these scoffers of our day are willfully ignorant of the dreadful vengeance that God poured out on the ungodly world that then was. The reality of what he is speaking, he says, the reality of what he's saying is when the Lord Jesus comes, look, the reality of that judgment that is going to come has already occurred in history. It is set before you. Now, you may suppress that, but the reality is history has already shown us this event. It happened when they least expected it. Even today, one of the greatest mockeries is against what? What did God do after the flood? He gave the sign of a rainbow. It was a covenant sign that God would never flood the world again. It was a beautiful sign in the sky, a sign of God's covenantal mercy. So whenever you look in the sky after a storm and you see a rainbow, God put that there to show you that he is faithful to that promise that he would never destroy the world again via the way of a flood. Well, what have we taken that sign today and done with it? Well, today that sign has become the accepted sign for what? Exactly what Romans 1 says. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned and their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The rainbow today, man has taken and said that behavior is okay, and here's the sign of it. That is the scoffing that Peter's talking about, that they will come scoffing the sign of his coming. They're willfully forgetting that God judged the whole world that then was. And what does Peter say? Peter says, think about this. By this same word, the present heavens and earth are literally being stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Have we had a population explosion today? In the last 100 years? Unprecedented. The world has 6 billion people. They say at this rate, the world population is doubling every 40 years. Never have men multiplied more on the face of the earth than what we're seeing today. And what is the reality? Well, the world is ripe for judgment. The heavens and the earth that now are, says Peter, this is quoting 2 Peter 3, by the same word that formed them, are reserved for fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now here's the reason for us to remain steadfast for the Christian, and that's why I say these things today in a sense to just write off everyone else who's not a Christian. My plea is that you would come to Jesus, because I believe with all of my heart he is the only Savior by which a sinner can be saved. He's the only way one can have access into heaven, and that is why all must come through him. Why does the Lord allow all this mocking to go on? Why does he allow oppressors to continue in their hatred and mocking of God's people? Why does he allow all this misery to continue? Because people will say that. The atheists will say today, well, if he's such a loving God, why all this stuff? Why all these horrible things? It's his mercy, my friends. The answer says here, he says in verse 8, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but he says that all should come to repentance. The point is, he's gathering his church. And if we're still here today, he's having mercy. The gospel's going to the ends of the earth, and he is grafting in. That's why we're still here. My friends, let us ensure that we have all come to Jesus and look to him. And when he comes on that day, we will be sheltered in his arms and taken to be with him in glory, as he will come not as our enemy, but as our friend. Well, thank you for tuning in today. We're always glad that you join us for the radio broadcast. We'd like to give you a sincere invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can access us on the web at lindenurc.com, and the phone number is area code 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. And let me also give you an encouragement. Often I receive notes and emails from you about the program and about things you're learning and what your convictions are. I would sincerely encourage you to write us here at the Linden URC. Let us know what you're learning from the radio broadcast, how they are maybe a blessing to you, and we'd be happy to share them with our congregation. And of course, prayer requests or prayer needs that you may have too, we're glad to take up here and pray for you. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.